The Chicago Bears moved Cody Whitehair back to center after they signed Nate Davis as a free agent. But it turns out this was actually part of the plan all along.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That means your team every day. And we especially love our everydayers tuning in 5 days a week for your daily Bears fix. On the show today, we dive into Cody Whitehair's move back to center. We will hear from the veteran offensive lineman himself about how for him, it's kind of like riding a bike. But I also want to look back at how it went last time he rode the bike and whether or not we properly or accurately remember how things went when he was at center. And I think some of the different dynamics that go into play of how we look at and think about the evaluation of the center position, and also why this move back to center was not just a response to the Nate Davis free agent signing, but sounds like the plan all along was to move Cody Whitehair back to center, regardless of whether Nate Davis was the guy they were going to bring in. I want to wrap up with something a little bit separate on the topic conversation, but I want to go a little bit more in depth on why this weekend might be the time when the Bears sign that free agent defensive end that you've had your eye on, or at least across the board, NFL teams might start signing more free agents starting this weekend, and I want to get into why this timing in particular should start picking up right now. But let's start with Cody Whitehair back at center, because we haven't really been able to hear much from Cody Whitehair throughout this offseason. We kind of figured when they signed Nate Davis that they would either move Whitehair back to center or move Tevin Jenkins back to tackle. And over time, Ryan Poles kind of, you know, let us know that the plan was Whitehair back to center. And of course, then the team opts not to re-sign Sam Mustapha and instead go with a more consistent, more veteran option on the interior there and bring in the free agent not at center, but at guard as a result. And so now Whitehair goes back to the position that he had played at times in his Bears career. He's played center, he's played left guard. He's kind of gone back and forth between the two, but he's been pretty stable, steady, and consistent at left guard for the last couple of seasons. But now he's getting back in the swing of things, snapping the ball again and trying to get things more on the same page with Justin Fields. Here's Cody Whitehair talking about this transition back to center and how it's going for him so far.
You know, I like it. I was notified a little bit earlier on in the off season, so it was nice to know, and was able to get a little bit more comfortable with it, and I feel good now. So I'm excited about it.
Is that hard though, just because of the success that you've had as a guard, and how they want to throw you back at center?
No, I mean, I've kind of done this my whole career. Like, it started when I was at K-State. You know, they moved me all around. I was playing tackle, I was playing guard. You know, this, and this. So, you know, I'm used to it, and you know, I've always been a team first guy. Wherever I can help the team, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
What do you draw upon from your previous experience and success at center helps you just kind of get back and comfortable again?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like riding a bike. I know there at first I was having some issues as far as consistency of the snap. You know, but I feel like I'm past that. I feel like I'm in a good spot. And, you know, I just think the experience there before has helped me do what I'm doing today.
I think the most interesting part of that for me was one of the first things he snuck in there about adjusting back to center and how he said something along the lines of, like, yeah, I found out earlier in the offseason that I would be heading back to center, so it wasn't like a big surprise to me or a big adjustment or a big change, you know, anywhere later in the process. And while he didn't say specifically what month, what day he found out he was going to be at center, That insinuation to me is then it wasn't like they went into free agency saying, ho-hum, we don't know exactly where we're going to play Cody Whitehair. But I think they went into this offseason saying, okay, Sam Mustapha will be a free agent, and we are not going to re-sign Sam Mustapha. Or at least we're not going to re-sign him as a starter, and he's going to likely want to go somewhere else where he has a chance to start. And so the Bears then went into this process saying, okay, if Mustapha is not going to come back and not going to be our starter, then what are our options at center? The free agent class had a few names, and I'm sure they kicked the can on a few of those, but ultimately, I think they kind of looked at this free agent class and said, boy, we could get some good value at guard and be able to sign somebody there and still have Tevin Jenkins as the other guard spot and still be able to use Cody Whitehair at center and try and get our best five offensive linemen on the field that way, as opposed to maybe signing a lesser center and still having Whitehair then at guard, but just not having quite the best five possible there. So I think this is at least good foresight by the Bears to read the market in advance, but also for Whitehair to just, like, the earlier you can let him know he's going to be playing center, then the more time he has to work on snapping the ball, to work on adjusting his footwork and responsibilities. Because, you know, he's going to know the plays from last year. He's going to know generally, like, the system. It's just a matter of, like, his specific role. And on certain running plays, you know, the center is going to be asked to block differently than the left guard is going to be next to him. And also, you know, you're going to be more inclined to have to use both feet, you know, in more equal strength on the left and right side, whereas the left guard, you know, you're putting your right foot in the ground and trying to kick off of that. Like at center, you have to be a little bit more ambidextrous, a little bit more working in both directions. So it's just given him more time to be able to stay steady at one spot and not be moving around at the last minute. Because I think that's been some of the problem early in his Bears career when I think we saw him struggle, because he's transitioning between left guard and center. And, like, you know, in 2019, he started the year at left guard, halfway through the moving to center. Then he starts 2020 still at center, and then halfway through the year, they move him back to left guard. And there were so many changes for his position, for James Daniels, and for other members on the offensive line, that these guys weren't able to be as steady and consistent, just mastering one spot. So I think the earliest that they can have him start working on this, the more time he can really lock in at center and be as dialed in as possible entering the season. I think the goal should be then to avoid some of the mistakes that led to, that contributed at least to some of his struggles earlier in his Bears career. And I want to look back, because I think we think of him being, you know, I think the narrative is like, oh, well, he's played center before, he's a natural center. But I also remember some struggles in there too, but it wasn't like he was terrible or completely awful either. So I want to make sure we're taking an appropriate stock of how it went last time he was at center and how much of that was his fault versus things going on around him. Next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And it's number one because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. So you place a bet, and if your bet wins, then you get your winnings. Great. If your bet loses, FanDuel will give you up to $2,500 back in bonus bets if that first bet doesn't win. It's a win-win. You either win your bet or you get extra money to keep playing with FanDuel. Whether you're betting on the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals, or this upcoming football season, you can already bet on Week 1 Bears-Packers. You can bet on where the Bears will finish in the division and so much more. It's all there at FanDuel in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Just visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get your no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA and NFL. Last time Cody Whitehair was at center, there was some fluctuation on this Bears offensive line. And I think part of his move back to left guard was a view that left guard would be a better spot for him. It wasn't that he wasn't, you know, that like center's not a quote-unquote natural position for him, but he was struggling at center, and that was part of the decision to move him back to left guard. I think what stands out to me most strongly in my brain looking back on it, that there were a number of issues with him snapping the ball, and at times he would snap it too high or snap it too low, and he was having trouble, you know, particularly out of the shotgun with that exchange, and that was part of what led to James Daniels going back at center. I think part of it, too, was the offensive line coaching at the time not necessarily being able to properly identify the best positions for each individual player to have success. But it's worth noting now, certainly in the running game, it's a very different system, and it's a very different style of quarterback now back there for Cody Whitehair. And I think the more time he spends at center now working on snapping, the more that can be less and less of an issue when it comes to the regular season. Because he's not being like switched to a new position halfway through the year and trying to remember how to snap the ball consistently again. Like that sort of stability from his, what they're asking him to do should be a pretty beneficial move for him. Like, what you can't do is get to the season and then say, you know what, actually, we're going to start Lucas Patrick at center and try and move Cody Whitehair back to left guard and try and move Tevin Jenkins to right tackle. I mean, something like that, right? You don't, like, pick the spot now and then let everybody go there and get as best as they can out of them. Like, know your talent, know where they're going to be at their best and be able to get that. I also think part of what makes it difficult at center can be the quality and consistency of the two guards on either side of you. Because center, I think even more than any other position, is the one that is least independent and least isolated on the offensive line. Certainly there are snaps where you're one-on-one blocking as a center. But for the most part, you know, not a lot of teams line up right over the center with a true zero technique nose guard. And even when they do, a lot of times they're trying to hit a gap as opposed to just take the center straight on. So the center is usually either turning left to go with the left guard or right to go with the right guard, or they're in the middle because no one's blocking them and they're looking for work, right? There's teams actually track this. I've worked for Pro Football Focus for like 7 or 8 years now. One of the things on every single play, on every single passing play, we chart the turn of, it's called turn of center. When the center snaps the ball, does he turn left? Does he turn right? Or does he stay center? Teams will try and then determine, okay, based on the protection, we know the center is going to trend to turn on the right when he's got a tight end to that side, so we can try and blitz his left side because he's not going to be paying attention to the left side. Like, teams really get in-depth on some of this stuff, but more so, like, the point being, he's helping out the right guard, he's helping out the left guard, or vice versa, the right guard is helping him out, or the left guard is helping him out. But it tends to be a little bit more of a collaborative blocking assignment from the center position. And when you look back at the guards Cody Whitehair was working with the last time he was at center, it was mostly James Daniels at left guard, although there was some fluctuation there. James Daniels got hurt here and there as well. But his right guard was a lot of Rashad Coward, a decent amount of Ted Larson, and towards the end there, a sprinkling of Jermaine Effetti. But I didn't actually chart out the exact number of starts for each right guard, but majority, like, Rashad Coward was the right guard starting next to Cody Whitehair. And you can see where, if you've got a glaring hole and a weakness on one side of you, that opposing defensive coordinators, defensive lines, pass rushes are going to attack, because defensive lines will want to attack the weakest link on the offensive line and try and get through to the quarterback. So they went after Rashad Coward. So Whitehair is constantly trying to get over there to help him and try and recover for him and try and pick up some of Coward's mistakes on top of all the other responsibilities that the center has. I don't want to say, like, that's then, that it doesn't explain or excuse the areas where Whitehair struggled. Certainly the snapping, you know, is part of that. But I do think there's something to be said about having consistency and stability at the guard positions around the center to make the center's job a little bit easier. And I think this season, assuming good health, as we always do, Tevin Jenkins on one side and Nate Davis on the other side should be, in theory, two really, really solid, consistent starting guards. Jenkins was the best lineman on the Bears last season. Nate Davis has always been a solid player. Maybe neither one's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber player, but I think Whitehair can go into each snap knowing that, hey, the guy on my left and the guy on my right, they got my back, and they can handle their own. Like, if I can't get over there and help him, he's going to be okay in either case for either guy. So he can focus more on the snap, focus more on his responsibilities on the play, and be more of like a point guard, an assist kind of guy, helping out where he can help out, as opposed to like needing to cover someone else's butt because they're getting run over consistently at their spot. He can focus on so much more, and I think he can be more calm, cool, collected, under control as the Bears center. I think overall, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be an upgrade over Sam Mustipher from last season. It's just a question of like how much. You know, I think he will be significantly better. I think there will be ups and downs. I think there will be moments when he gets beat. We've seen, I think over the years, him at center, there's never really been a concern at like the running game. Like, he's always been pretty fine, whether he's at left guard or center, getting off the snap and moving people. But it's sometimes pass protection, like going from snap to moving backwards to getting up and trying to, you know, stop a quick defensive tackle across from him. Some occasionally, like, every offensive lineman makes mistakes, and he had his ups and downs. To me, the bigger question is just like snapping, because, you know, he snapped a lot and still had some struggles towards the end there. But assuming he can kind of narrow that down and keep things solid there, I think we should be in for a pretty fine, steady, solid season of Cody Whitehair at center. And you feel like if things go really bad for whatever reason, you do have Lucas Patrick, who's not great, who struggled at times last season, but has been a serviceable spot starter and fill-in backup over the years for the Green Bay Packers and now your Chicago Bears. So Feeling pretty good about the center position, feeling pretty good about the offensive line as a whole. Quite a contrast to the defensive line where we're still not feeling particularly good, but I have a feeling, I have a hunch, and a good reason for it, that if the Bears are going to sign a defensive end or more defensive linemen, that this weekend might be the time, maybe as soon as today as this podcast is coming out, because of a particular, I guess, milestone in the NFL offseason calendar and how it affects sort of the Bears and every other team in the NFL that I think should spur some action. I think it starts today, but by the time deals actually start getting signed and reported, I think that might pick up more into the weekend and early next week. I'll explain why next on Locked On Bears. So built into the NFL offseason calendar, right, when we talk about players being cut in the offseason, we hear a lot about this idea of you can designate a player as a post-June 1st cut. That you can, no matter what time of year it is, I mean, I guess in the offseason, no matter what time of the offseason is, you can cut a player and designate him as a post-June 1st cut. And it's a way that you can spread out some of the salary cap dead money that comes on that player's contract. You can spread it out over the course of two seasons. The Bears did this last year with, I think they did it with Tariq Cohen and somebody else. I want to say it was an offensive lineman. I can't remember who, but they've done this a few times in recent years to where normally when you cut a player, all the dead money hits your books right away. And it's like, sorry, you still owe him all this guaranteed money. You have to pay that now. It comes onto your salary cap. Now, for whatever you had to pay him in the future years, it all stacks because you cut him, you have to pay that all out now as salary cap space. Post the June 1st designation allows you to say, okay, if we're going to cut a guy who has dead money, if you designate him a post June 1st cut, then everything he was owed this year becomes dead cap this year. But everything you were owing him for future years of the contract doesn't count as dead cap until the following year. So you can have that dead money be spread out over 2 years instead of one. So it's not such a burdensome cap hit from releasing that player. I think Danny Trevathan might have been one of the other, or Akeem Hicks might have been post June 1st cuts last year. Regardless, it's a way to spread out dead cap money. But the problem is when you designate somebody a post June 1st cut and you save that extra dead cap money space, that doesn't actually come off of your books until post June 1st. That there's a very real, like you're allowed to make the designation early, but chronologically, that dead cap doesn't get spread out to the next year until after June 1st. Friday, today, is June 2nd. And so today is the day that every team that designated players as a post-June 1st cut get the salary cap savings from those post-June 1st designations. They've been having to sort of sit on that full dead money amount up until this point. And starting today, all that extra dead money is now pushed onto the 2024 year's salary cap books. And so starting today, a number of teams across the NFL, I think it's like 5, 6, 7, I didn't actually count of them, a handful of teams are gaining cap space. Some are gaining $10 to $15 million of cap space. Some are gaining $3 to $5 million of cap space. But other teams, not the Bears didn't do it at all this year, so the Bears aren't gaining any salary cap space, but other teams are gaining more salary cap space starting today. And you might be thinking, well, if the Bears aren't gaining salary cap space, why now would they be signing players? They've had the most salary cap space in the NFL all offseason. What changes now? What changes now is that free agents like Yannick Ngakoue or Justin Houston or Leonard Floyd, they've known all along that, hey, other teams are going to get more cap space June 2nd. So they've been holding out to say, you know, some teams that are going to get more cap space can make better offers once they get more cap space, right? So now the teams that have more money can come back, or the players can come back to the teams and say, hey, you have more cap space now. Would you like to up your offer to us now that you can afford to give us more money? Or maybe perhaps teams have been negotiating sort of wink and nudge all along saying, hey, we can't formally offer you this contract right now, but we'd be happy to offer you more starting June 2nd. And so I think you've got teams like the Bears saying, hey, here's our offer. And you've got other teams saying, hey, starting June 2nd, we're going to have more cap space. You know, can we get you this offer? So then that team, that player can come back to the Bears and other teams and say, okay, now the Chiefs or now whatever team, they're offering me more now because we're post June 2nd. Do you want to up your offer? And now that every team across the NFL is going to have now the maximum cap space that they're going to have from here on out, now players can say, okay, everyone's got the most money they can available to them at this point. Now I will make my decision as the free agent which team I want to sign to, because now I'm getting everybody's true best offers instead of teams that I know would have had more money starting June 2nd. So I think today is when those negotiations will really start picking back up and heating up. I don't know if that means players are going to start signing immediately today, or if, you know, they negotiate today, they think about it overnight into Saturday and into Sunday, and they think about it over the weekend, and maybe it's Monday, Tuesday before players really start signing deals. But salary cap space is going up today, and that means teams are going to have more money to sign free agents today and are going to be able to make their best offers to free agents starting today. And I think that's where we're going to start seeing the wheels get in motion a lot faster here. And so if the Bears are going to sign a defensive end, a defensive lineman, it feels like sometime within the next handful of days is when we should expect that to happen. I think that's when you see, you know, it's mainly the veteran guys that are hoping to get bigger deals. It's not the bottom of the roster type of, like, you know, third or fourth running back, you know, fifth or sixth defensive end type. Not like the young guys who are just trying to crack a team, but it's really the veterans. It's the Jadeveon Clowneys. It's the Yannick Ngakoues. It's the Justin Houstons. The guys that are hoping to get and are holding out to get a better than minimum deal from whatever team is willing to sign them. And, you know, some of these guys are more motivated by more money. Some of these guys are maybe waiting for the right opportunity. And some guys might wait until training camp. That's the other aspect of this. Not everyone's going to just instantly sign today. You know, if you're a 33-year-old Robert Quinn or a 33-year-old Akeem Hicks, are you super motivated to sign June 2nd and have to come to mandatory mini camps and maybe even feel pressured to come to voluntary OTAs? Or do you say, screw it, I'll wait until July, and then I won't have to show up until we actually get to training camp when business starts getting a little bit more serious? Like, I don't think Quinn or Hicks, for example, needs to be at OTAs and mini camp to be up to speed for their team by the time week one rolls around. So there's a little bit of a give and take here. I think there's more financial incentive to start signing here soon because teams have cap space. And I think we will see players start to sign soon. And I think other players will still hold out until we get a little bit closer to training camp. Because the other dynamic there too is, like, if you're a player at a premium position, you might wait and say, okay, well, maybe a big time player on a team is going to get hurt at mini camp, at OTAs, or at training camp, and I'll wait for a team to have a big injury, and then they'll come to me and offer me more money because they'll need me more. Sort of the supply versus the demand thing. There will be a wait for a bigger need to be created on a team by an injury before I sign these deals. So that's why I say, like, too, it's not as though everyone's just going to start signing all of a sudden this weekend, but I do think we will see more movement and more progress over the next couple of days as teams pocket themselves a bit more salary cap space. We went through some of the specific free agent and trade targets that the Chicago Bears could go through on the defensive line just a couple of weeks ago, right after the draft, when Ryan Poles kind of hinted at as much during an interview. So if you want more on Ngakoue and Clowney and all those different guys, go back and take a listen to that podcast. And while you're there, make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's going to be the best way to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That's your team every day. And we're coming to you all off-season long. We don't take an extended off-season break or anything like that. So I hope you'll keep coming back for more. Make yourself become an everydayer. Listen to us every day. Join our everydayers here that we see. I see you guys in the YouTube comments saying, hey, I'm an everydayer here, I'm an everydayer there. Join the club, because everyone who listens every day is getting then their daily opportunity to bear down.